Hello there, and welcome to our next look into the works of Studio Ghibli here on Movie Madness. I am one of your hosts, David Double D Dennis, and this week I'm joined with a guy who's apparently back from beyond the grave. He's gonna eat my brains!
The ohms! It's okay, it's alright! It's Scott! And my version number, oh my gosh, I don't even know to
like
keep track 6, of this, man. No, we
something.
Haven't gotten that high. I know while I was gone there were some upgrades, and I've jumped quite a few. I'm at 32 now, which seems to be an appropriate number for me. 32, man.
32. Okay. You're not 32 years old, so I don't understand why this number bears any significance.
Some people might. Very few people will. Maybe because it's been my handle for everything with ScottyDo32, which is why... Now I let you all in on the secret. But yes!
Kind of like how I use 77 for everything. I don't know why.
Star Wars came out in 77, that's why.
Yeah, it's just a cool number. Everyone's got that number that they like. This week, actually we have feedback, but I think I'm going to save it for the next show, because what's happening is Scott and I are going to record our look into Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. And then immediately after this, Andrew, who's like out watching a movie right now, will be joining us for Pom Poko, and I'd rather do the feedback when he's here to hear it.
Man, you're ruining the magic. They wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, sorry guys. Real movie magic that's happening on this show.
Practical effects. None of this digital crap.
Sometimes we record more than one episode at a time. I'm ruining the fun of not knowing the behind the scenes here. Because, you know, people really care about that stuff.
They do.
We're gonna basically jump into this movie, which this was Scott's pick, so I wanna know, why did you pick this one?
Well, this has always been my all-time favorite Studio Ghibli film.
Although it's technically not a Studio Ghibli film.
Suck my dick. It starts off with the Studio Ghibli logo.
It was released before the studio's founding.
I will change it then.
Official film. This was added to their roster later on. But their first official film was actually Castle in the Sky.
Okay, I'll change it then. I'll say this is my...
I'll allow it.
This is my all-time favorite Hayao Miyazaki film.
Okay, there you go.
There we go. That actually fits now, and we don't have to have any justification.
Me being a nitpicky bastard.
God, the reason I found this movie actually was I was at the library, and I just found out about all these Studio Ghibli films after I watched Spirited Away. So I really wanted to get into them, and my library luckily had a selection of most of their films, and I picked this movie up, and I brought it home, and it was a nice summer day, and I put it on, and I was like, whoa, this is the coolest thing ever. And I don't know, I just watch it all the time. I love it. It was the first Ghibli film I went and bought myself with my own money once I got a job. It was expensive too, like $35 for the DVD, and I was like, I have to have it. This movie needs to be in my collection. I think
it's still expensive.
Oh, I know they are. Pom Poko is like $40, man.
What?
At
it's
HMV.
Not worth it at all. We'll get to that when we get to our Pom Poko show, but
yeah,
that's all I have to say about that movie for now. It's not worth $40.
Yeah. Nausicaä is.
Sure. Nausicaä, yeah, I would say up to around $40 at the most. But
and I have to go find the Blu-ray because I love this movie so much. I need it on Blu-ray now.
This would probably look gorgeous on Blu-ray, actually.
Exactly my thoughts. I actually bought some. I started getting into model making, so I actually bought a Nausicaä model kit with their ohm.
Really?
Yeah.
And that actually exists?
Yeah, it does. They actually have Laputa ones as well that I'm looking at getting of the robots. And I'm actually
those like robot guard things or whatever. Nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my ohm. My friend is good with electrical stuff. He's gonna show me how to make some stuff, and we're gonna actually mess around with some electrical stuff. So the eyes actually light red and blue.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. You can tell if it's mad at you or not.
Exactly. And it'd be cool to even add a small motion sensor kind of thing. Like
yeah, I was gonna say if you walk past it,
it
goes red.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be wicked.
I know, I really want to do it.
Oh, man. Okay, so coming back to the movie, I guess we should try and explain a little bit of what Nausicaä is about.
Of Scott's plot?
Yes. Now that we actually have you back on the
show. What did you do when I wasn't here? What was it?
It was just Andrew's plot.
Oh, my God. That must have been
not as good. It doesn't
monotone.
Even rhyme.
So, this wasn't indie enough for me, guys. And, alrighty. Scott's plot. Scott's plot. Ooh, Scott's plot. Alright, guys. Here's Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. I gotta shorten my Scott's plots down because I realize they end up taking like 20 minutes usually.
That's
so,
okay. I don't mind.
I think these people probably get annoyed. All the hate mail I get. I wish I got hate mail. Okay,
yeah,
so this film starts off with beautiful animation. You're going along, going along. You're like, wow, this is so gorgeous. See some like birds running up, like chicken shit out in the houses. And it's Patrick Stewart, man. Jean-Luc Picard is in this world. I don't even know if they call the world.
In the
I guess
English
it's still
version.
World. Yeah, well...
I
that
think it's just
is.
Earth in the future. They don't
yeah,
really give
I'm
it
pretty
a special
sure.
name. That, the land of Ooh, I guess.
After the must, the fourth mushroom wall.
Yes.
And you see the world's become pretty desolate and apocalyptic. And that's what's happening right now. And blah, 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 some ohms and stuff. And then, yeah, it's that first. Then we cut to our... main hero here. You seeing
who
the
happens
beauty.
To be named Nausicaä.
Nausicaä,
in case you
actually
didn't
a
guess.
Russian princess. That's where the name comes from. Fun tidbit. Hmm. So yeah, she's in the poison forest there, and you see how beautiful this forest is. She's exploring, and she luckily finds an ohm shell. And these things are like gold. Like these are not even gold. They're like if diamonds and gold had like a hybrid together. That's what these are, because like, they're so rare to find a perfect one intact. And it's such lightweight and strong material. She tries to take off... She takes off one of the eyes, because they use it for, like, a like windows and stuff.
It must not be that strong, because she just takes it off with, like, gunpowder, basically.
Well, she blows out the hinges at its weakest point.
Okay,
well, her
so
sword
she's
can't
smart,
stab
but
it.
It's still... It's...
Okay, whatever. Dave, stop ruining the illusion here.
Okay, sorry.
So she's sitting there, and she's enjoying the toxic jungle there. The spore, the afternoon spores are pouring on her like snow, and all of a sudden a gunshot appears. She's like, oh my god, a gunshot. Patrick Stewart and is running from an ohm, and she's like, oh no! Lord Yupa, I must save him! Oh, let me save you, ohm, it's okay! And she, like, the ohm whisperer, and she, like, just knows what to say to this guy and gets a insect charm, which apparently no one else has, because no one else ever used them in the film, and they instantly...
Sure.
Like,
why don't they mass produce these things?
I know, they instantly, almost instantaneously, like, soothe the insects, but Nausicaä's the only person who ever has one. And then they go back on their adventure to the Valley of the Wind.
And which... that's it? That's God's plot?
No.
Then a bunch of other stuff happens. The end.
The end. Then they get to the Valley of the Wind, which is really the last place where the toxic jungle hasn't gotten to. It's still beautiful, like how Earth used to be. And, yeah, Nausicaä's going back there with Lord Yupa. They go talk to her father, who is an ailing man. And you meet some other characters, like Edward James Olmos. He's hanging about with a cool stash. And, oh my gosh, an airship is crashing. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this airship's crashing. Nausicaä's like, we're getting up there. Give me my glider. She's, woo, getting up there. So she's flying about, and I don't know if she thinks that they can hear her. She's like, turn around, turn around. Well, there's engines and explosions. like her voice transcends all of that. So, yeah, she sees that there's insects on there. They've enraged the insects, and that is the worst thing you can do in the world now, is enrage the insects, who are the guardians of the toxic jungle. So this ship's coming down, she's like, turn around, hits a mountain, and she sees a girl, a flash of a girl, and it crashes and blows the hell up, yet this girl survives for like 30 more seconds to get her point about, and she's like, let it all burn, destroy it all the insects are dead and that were on the ship, as well as the people, find out that she was the princess from a town called Pegite. What was the other city called? I can't remember their names. I can never remember them.
Something, it ends in Ian.
Tomikian.
Tomikian.
Tomikian. That is them.
Tomikian?
Yeah.
Tomikian? Yep. Okay.
The Tomikian's ship, they've kidnapped her. They've been in a big war. It seems like they're the only two places that really exist. In the Valley of the Wind, they're like, holy shit, this place is around. Didn't know that, because they're so peaceful and self-sufficient. And they find this giant, throbbing flesh ball, which they have no idea what it is at first. They're like, what is this? What is this? Okay, well, we have to get rid of this somehow. And, la 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 la, they gotta get rid of it. Shit's getting down. Like, oh my gosh. So then Nausicaa runs away and is all scared, I think. I don't remember. I'm bad at this, because I'm tired. And, I'm pretty sure sooner or later, these Tomikians are coming, man. They're like, what's going on? What's going on? What are you doing here? They're gonna come now. We're fast-forwarding. They're coming
well,
in here.
Like, they kill her father.
Oh yeah, spoilers, I know. I meant, I we're fast-forwarding, because they're coming in next. Tomikians, man.
And
they're...
then they, like, kidnap her for some reason, and a bunch of, and, like, five other hostages, I guess. And
yeah,
they're like, we're gonna go back to Pegite, I guess.
No, Tomikia. No,
are they? Well, anyways, it doesn't matter because they don't get there because they crash in the jungle.
Well, they crash because of the Pegite fighter, which is Shia LaBeouf.
Oh yeah,
and he is the prince, and that was his sister who was dead. And I think we've missed quite a bit too, because I think we've missed the realization that it is the fire giant. Or the God Warriors.
Oh, Obama tells them that. I think it's supposed to be Obaba, I think, but it sounds like Obama every time they say
it. I know,
they
have Ubaba, Obaba. What is this, man?
I'm just going to call her Obama.
So they fight. So, yeah, they come to the realization as a God Warrior, which was part of the 7 days of fire, which cleansed the earth with fire and destroyed everything in its sight. The Tomikians want to use this to destroy Pegite. Pegite wants to do the same thing, and they want to destroy the Toxic Jungle. And but you can't destroy a Toxic Jungle, man. You just don't. Because Nausicaa comes to that realization once she crashes with Shia LaBeouf. They crash right through the Toxic Jungle, and it's like the purest sand and pure water. The Toxic Jungle is cleansing the earth from all of the pollution. That's the major revolution of this film. Is that Nausicaa finds out that you cannot destroy this jungle. The jungle will consume everybody and kill everybody. That's the end result.
You'll piss off the bugs and
yep. And the bugs will, the Ohm specifically, which are the big insecticides, like almost like beetles in a sense. I could kind of make them.
They
kind of
look like a, what do you call, like a bug fetus, a larvae.
Almost like a yeah, that's it.
Almost like a giant caterpillar. Like, yeah. They're kind of horrifying, actually.
And they go red with rage, and they'll never stop, unless you happen to have one of these charms. So what has happened is they have actually destroyed Pegite, the Ohm, so have destroyed Pegite, and they destroy cities, and when they die, their corpses start growing the Toxic Jungle out. So they spread the Toxic Jungle, which is cleansing the earth, of all the pollution that mankind made previous.
Is that what they do? I didn't pick up on that.
Yep.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, well, look at that. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that the Toxic Jungle is cleaning the earth. It's the earth going through a cleansing period. So all the insects will die too, and life will start anew. Humanity won't survive, and they actually come to that revolution, but they have to still try to keep on. So that's why the Tomikians and Pegite, they want this God Warrior so that they may, they think they can destroy the forest, burn it all down, kill the insects, and rule the world once again. That ain't how it's gonna happen, Nausicaa says. Sorry, my throat. So,
okay.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna go into little plot points here, and then after they meet the Pegite, which is Mark Hamill, actually. Hamill is
the
mayor of Pegite.
He's their leader.
They are going to the Valley of the Wind. They're like, we're getting to the Valley of the Wind. And they're bringing the Ohms with them, man. They're making those Ohms go. And Nausicaa's like, no, no, no. You can't do that. You cannot bring the Ohms. They're going to destroy the valley. No, we must get the God Warrior. So then, like, Nausicaa's trying to stop this all. They're getting their ship shot down. And Nausicaa escapes in her gunship. The Tamikians have boarded the Pegite ships. So she's going back to the valley. And she's like, we have to stop this. And she's part of the valley has become contaminated with some of the poisons. So they're getting all nervous that they're all going to die and everything's going to end. There's been a kind of a revolution against the Tomikian occupation. And because the queen's been gone. So now we're getting to this final big fight here. The Ohms are rushing towards the Valley of the Wind. The Tomikians got their tanks everywhere, all their soldiers, and they're waiting for the God Warrior to be ready. It's not ready yet. And Nausicaa is like, oh my gosh, the Ohms, I have to figure out how to stop this. She finds out the Pegite, what they've been doing is they took a baby Ohm, and they stabbed it with these giant spears to make it bleed and scream, calling for help. So Nausicaa, being the great environmentalist and loving, caring person she is, she goes after this little, like, it almost looks like Bowser's ship from Super Mario World, but with an Ohm at the bottom.
I don't understand how that thing was actually flying.
I don't either. And
it looked like the basket underneath a hot air balloon, but with no hot air balloon attached to it. Just an Ohm? Yeah, it was just kind of floating around.
So then she's getting there, and she's like, "Pshoo, I'm gonna kill you guys, you gotta stop." She gets, like, shot. These guys have, like, an MG-60, like, blow a bullet through her shoulder, but she's cool. So she's like, "Stop, stop, stop." And the Ohm is trying to go back to its people, but it's injured. It can't go through the acid lake, so she's getting burned by acid. She's like, "No, Ohm, no." And then the Ohm is like, "Okay, I'm feeling better now. So then she's going to deliver the Ohm now to the other Ohms, but she drops the Ohm down there, yet they're not stopping. They're so enraged, nothing's stopping. So the Tomikians, who have controlled the Valley of the Wind, they're firing their tanks, they're shooting all their artillery, and the princess, she goes to awake the God Warrior. So all we see is this thing of ancient myth that cleansed the Earth come up. And fun fact, this is actually animated by the same guy who made Neon Genesis Evangelion. That was his first job, was making that God Warrior.
Really?
Yep.
I can kind of see that now, yep. Actually.
He animated that whole scene. That was his project. So you have this slimy, just-born God Warrior. Doesn't look very stable or that majestic like they've claimed them to be. And it shoots its lasers. And just, you see the laser fly across the Earth. Giant explosion blowing up these Ohms. And it gets to do it 3 more times before it just dies because it was not fully born. So it's collapsing upon itself and the God Warrior dies. And the Tomikians and the residents of the Valley of the Wind feel that everything's lost and they're screwed. But lo and behold, the Ohms just stopped. The Ohms stopped, and they're amazed they're alive. Obaba is like, why are we still alive? This doesn't make sense. She looks in the distance, and the Ohms' eyes are all turning blue. From a sea of red comes a sea of blue.
Isn't that nice how their eyes are like a mood ring?
Yeah, they are, man. Like, Veda would have been like, oh my gosh, I need these. I was trying to make a good My Girl reference, because she liked mood rings. God damn it, Dave. But yeah, so the Ohms have all calmed down, and they're going to go back on their way. But they find out, lo and behold, that the ancient prophecy that 1,000 years after the Earth was consumed would be a shepherd, and all in blue, walking across a field of gold, will bring us from the into the new world. And it's Nausicaa, man. She was wearing a red dress 30 seconds earlier, but apparently it's now blue. And the Ohm, she is in touch with them. Like, they know that she cares. They're highly intelligent insects, too. They have these feelers that can feel into their brains and send you signals and stuff. And she's walking across this field of gold. And there's the baby Ohm with her. And she's just brought peace back. The Ohm are moving away. And you see, again, the valley is starting to get back to its ways, and we cut to the credits where it's showing them all working together, and the very final 3 seconds of the film cuts to her flight cap on the sand where she fell through, and a tree growing. That the earth is coming back.
It's reforming now. Alright, so that basically brings us through the plot of Nausicaa.
Mm.
Good job on that one, Scott. You only took
10 minutes.
About 15.
Oh, damn it. I'm bad. I gotta speed these babies up.
Yeah, maybe I should stop interrupting as well.
It's okay. I like the interjection. But yeah, so Where should we start off now talking about this? We've gotten the plot out of the way, so this was the big environmental movie that wasn't in your face being an environmental.
Yeah, I mean, later we're going to talk about Pompoko, which is kind of the opposite of that. But yeah, this movie has an environmental message.
Well, again, that's a big theme with Miyazaki and Ghibli's. There's quite a few environmental tales to tell.
Yeah, they seem to be either environmental or somehow like coming of age stories of like children falling in love for the first time and stuff like that. But this one falls more into, it still has a little bit of like the character.
It's a mixture
still
though.
Kind of young. I think the main characters are maybe around 16.
Yeah.
Which isn't as bad as something like, what was their newest one that he just
Ponyo?
Released? Ponyo. Yeah. They're like 6 in that.
I love Ponyo. I think that's so innocent and fun. And that also has environmental tales.
That's
very underlying.
True, actually.
Yeah.
Now that you're pointing it out, almost every Studio Ghibli film has some kind of environmental message, except for probably My Neighbors the Yamadas, which we looked at last time.
Like, Spirited Away has its environmental tales. Howl's Moving Castle kind of does, too. It's not very in the forefront, yet it's there. You got the waste and, like, it's very minimal in that one. Spirited Away has them. I don't know if Porco Rosso does to an extent. I don't think it does.
Not so much. I think Porco Rosso is just sort of a straight-up adventure movie, which is what I love about it.
Totoro does, because, again, he's the spirit of the forest, so... Mononoke, obviously, that's the thing, is the environmentalism.
But definitely with this one, it's more in the forefront.
Exactly, and it's really to the point of we fucked up as humans, and all the pollution we created and our warmongering destroyed the earth, so the earth is now trying to cleanse itself, and it has to go to the most extreme ways to do it and basically toxify the planet to cleanse it, to counteract those poisons, basically expelling the poisons we put into it.
Yeah, so the trees are almost kind of like breathing in this poison, which is causing the forest to be toxic.
Yep.
And then breathing out the wind that's going into the Valley of the Wind, which is then cleansing out...
Yeah, because the Valley of the Wind is the only place it pushes the toxins back. Like, because it's always windy there, so any spores get blown right back.
Except for once in the movie where they're like, oh, the wind has stopped.
Yep.
Obama, what's happening?
But it's funny because then when they come to the realization that the whole earth is infected, like... They realize their soil isn't pure. They are eating the poison still, yet it's not to the extent that it's going to kill you. Which, there's a lot of really environmental things. Like, you think about how they're talking about all the foods they're eating now because it's like soil's infected, almost like those GMOs and stuff like that. Like, if you go into it, it's pretty deep on how we're really poisoning ourselves and the planet.
There's probably a lot of stuff that you picked up on that I haven't even noticed, because this is only really like my second time seeing this movie.
Yeah, this is like my 10th or 12th. I like it. I like the movie a lot. So I really try to find more things into it.
So this is going to be you sort of raving about this.
Mm-hmm. And answering any questions, too, because if you have anything, we can kind of learn together.
How about Nausicaa as a character? What do you think of her?
Okay.
Especially maybe compared to like other Studio Ghibli characters.
Well, right away, if you're going to compare her to any Studio Ghibli characters, the only one I feel could have a comparison to her would almost be Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But I don't. But on the sense, I feel they're very similar characters. I haven't seen Mononoke in a while, though, so I can't.
Me neither.
Wow, this won't end well. But I feel it's if you have to compare, I feel Nausicaa is that strong character. Everyone in the Valley of the Wind looks up to her and adores her. She is their princess. She is the one who is bringing back all these things to make sure the valley prospers. And she does everything for these people. And they know that, and they love her for it, and they help her. And again, how in the prophecy it basically foretells the person, which they always thought would be a man. And this is our strong female lead. Our strong female lead, and she is the one who crosses the field of gold, and she tames the Ohm.
And, yeah, I gotta say, it's kind of nice to see a strong female lead in this type of, more of an action film, really.
It is, very much so. I think this is the only Studio Ghibli film I remember where they have guys like coming in with guns, having gunfire, and killing each other.
I think Mononoke gets pretty violent.
Oh, it does. But I mean the extent
of
like
really have
though that
like,
sci-fi anime kind of aspect to it, the sci-fi-ness of it.
Yeah,
know what I mean? Like the sci-fi gun battles. That's something he kind of shied away from, and went to the more mysticism.
Yeah, I would like to see Studio Ghibli return to that kind of a style, but it's gone more into like fantasy. This is really their biggest this and to a lesser extent Castle in the Sky
are their biggest sci-fi films.
Are
their only sci-fi films really?
Yeah, that I can think of.
Because now he's going more into. In the these last few years of what Miyazaki's been doing have been going into more of his past growing up and like more real world stuff. I like that he has his little phases.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we go back to Nausicaa, I felt like it's such a strong sci-fi anime in my opinion. I've always loved it again. Like Nausicaa is a character being that strong female character who you love. She is the purest of pure hearts. She sees the good in everything.
Sometimes it can be kind of annoying, I find, personally, just because she's a little bit too perfect for me. At the same time, though, they're comparing... I can't think of a good example, but comparing her to other characters who are like this, who they try really hard to make them as pure-hearted as possible, sometimes it gets really annoying. It's like, nobody's that perfect, but... Nausicaa, I actually like her as a character. I just feel like they made her a little bit too perfect. It's one of my few complaints about this movie.
But I think it really lends itself to the character being too perfect because she is a prophesized character.
I guess so. And I mean, she isn't completely perfect because there is one part where like her dad dies and she loses her shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she kills anyone, but she, like, injures a few
people. I think she does kill them, though.
Like, maybe two or three people, and then she feels really bad about it afterwards. So, yeah, she's not completely perfect. She is a little bit fallible, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess part of me felt that was really thrown in there to make her fallible. It, like, wasn't intended. I felt they just threw it in there, because it's almost really just that one scene. Where she shows
for the
that
most part.
Like she was too cookie cutter, so they decided to draw outside the lines a bit and make her want to kill some actual people. I'm just trying to think of what else like, with this film, because we have Nausicaa, the great character. There's a lot of her side characters which really go on her journey, like Mito and Lord Yupa. Lord Yupa was someone I was always confused about what his actual affiliation with the valley was.
He seems to be just some sort of a like lone wanderer type of guy.
Apparently he's the greatest sword master, but then I've read other things that say he's the lord of the Valley of the Wind, which like makes no sense. But I've read these off certain like Ghibli wikis, which have thrown me off, and I've always just wanted to know exactly who he is. Because I know you and I both would know, and I'm really curious if anybody does know, if they could send us a message at feedback at This Week in Geek, because I'm always so curious about who he really isn't as important if he's just the Master Swordfighter they love in the Gandalf character.
Yeah, that's kind of how I saw him. He was like the wise sage sort of character in this movie. One of my only complaints, well, it's kind of a compliment and a complaint about this movie, is the music sort of goes from being completely gorgeous, like beautiful orchestral score during some of the slower moments where it's just sort of showing you the scenery, which is also quite beautiful. And that, but then during the action scenes,
it goes like really synthy.
It goes into like 80s video game music.
Yeah.
And sounds like the soundtrack to Tron. And it gets really dated.
Yeah, because so, all of Joe Hisaishi's stuff he's done for all the Ghibli films, like, it's always orchestral, timeless music. And that, again,
except here.
Yeah, he has it. Like the creepy la, 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 la.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. Which is a really iconic tune from the song, and it goes with its orchestral roots. But again, I feel exactly, it's always when you get the sci-fi battles that it comes to that really dated anime, almost 80s action song that yeah. like starts picking up like bomba 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 bomba. Like that's it is, and it kind of takes it up because all Joe Hisaishi stuff that I've heard I've loved so much, and this soundtrack, it does lend itself to the scenes. But I felt that they really almost should have kept to the like, one form of it.
Yeah, or just not had music during the action scenes.
But I also feel, but again, being the devil's advocate there, I felt it'd be hard to almost have the orchestralness going to those certain scenes. Because watching it with that music, it does suit it so well. But it's just a clashing of the two genres make the soundtrack as a whole kind of odd.
Yeah, it's a little bit schizophrenic.
Very much so.
So we've talked about music. Obviously,
how about the design? Like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, the animation style and the overall design of this movie.
Like, this movie was in development hell when it came out because I don't know if you know any of the actual history behind this specific film.
Not really, so enlighten me.
Well, I'm a lover of special features, so I obviously watched the history of the film's special features on the DVD. So, Hayao Miyazaki, he originally just wanted to make this movie, but again, in Japan, especially back then, you couldn't just make an animated movie. It's like, how do we know this is popular? It sounds cool, but they told him it wasn't going to work. You have to make it first into a serialized manga series. So that's how Nausicaä started, was as a manga series, a weekly manga series, and it ended up becoming popular enough that he was actually able to make this film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew there was a manga, I didn't know
that. The only reason that the manga does exist is because he had to make it. Yeah, they wouldn't let him make the movie without the manga. Because it was basically testing waters. Like, if it's popular...
Yeah, because I remember... I've heard people tell me before that the manga is better than the movie, or that it goes into more detail in certain parts.
Alas, I've never read it, because I've never been able to find a copy of it.
You could probably find it on the internet somewhere.
Well, I want to own it. I love Ghibli stuff, man. I gotta own it, man. But, like...
You gotta own it.
Yeah, like, I was always curious if it did go into more detail, which most likely it does, since it has had more time to get its story across.
Exactly, yeah.
But I always loved the art style, like, of the ohms and the insects. Just, you really felt when you look at something, you almost knew exactly what its place was in the plot. Like, you look at that poisonous forest, you could just tell by looking at it that something wasn't right about it, even in the opening scene.
The one main thing that this movie got right in terms of animation and design was, like, the universe itself, the actual settings, the trees, the houses, the costumes that the characters are wearing. The one thing that I feel is a little bit subpar is actually the character design. I find, like, Nausicaa herself is kind of bland. I feel like later on, that's something that Studio Ghibli really improved on later. If you watch some of their more recent films, the characters seem to be a little bit more detailed and a little bit more lifelike.
Yeah.
And that's something I think Miyazaki improved on.
Yeah, again, yeah, very much so. Like, some of the characters you find very difficult to differentiate who they are because there aren't that many defining features.
Yeah, especially between, like, some of the background characters.
Yeah, like, especially when they take all the hostages and, like, you have Mito and the other few people who all look very similar. It might just be their mustaches a little different and the color of it. Their mustaches different, and that's about it.
And there's quite a few characters that just have mustaches covering their mouths, which made it really easy when they had to dub this movie,
because
you don't have to match voice flaps. It's just a mustache bouncing up and down.
That's exactly what Patrick Stewart says, and he says, this was very easy for me, because all I had to do was match my mouth with how his mustache was moving up and down. So they could add a lot more, because you weren't having to go by the sounds the mouth would have made in the certain position.
Yeah, it would have been more difficult to dub someone like Nausicaa or... I can't remember his name, but the guy who Shia LaBeouf is playing.
Azbul?
Azbul, yeah.
Yeah. I probably got a bit of that wrong, but yeah, Azbul.
Azbel?
Something like that. Shia LaBeouf. And I actually think he does a very good job in this film, too, as a voice actor. I enjoy his acting.
Yeah, it's not as distracting as you might think it is.
No, it's not like really whiny or annoying. And I felt he got the emotion right during certain scenes, too. Because some voice actors, when it comes to certain emotion, I think Disney's pretty good with this, though, when they're doing their dubs, is you watch some anime and you just don't feel the emotion when they're getting upset or something. But, like, when Shia LaBeouf is, like, screaming and stuff, you really feel that emotion coming through his character and his acting.
There's only one part, actually, where I would disagree with you.
Okay.
Where they get back to his, like, home village or whatever, and he's supposed to be devastated, and he's just like, he's like crying into Nausicaa's chest or whatever, and he's like, they destroyed everything or something like that, and I was like, I liked everything else Shia LaBeouf did, but until this one line I felt he kind of underacted it a little bit, and I played the Japanese, and I feel the Japanese actor did a better job with that particular line.
Okay.
And the other guy is, I don't know who does his voice, but the main, like, not, I guess not the main bad guy, but, like, the Tomikians, they have, like, their princess, and then there's, like,
they're, like, her number one guy. Yeah,
is, like, such a cheesy...
I love him.
That guy is like,
we're
going to destroy the valley.
Like, I love him.
He sounds like the douchey, like, rich, I don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah, he's like, his character basically is like, can we just leave? Like, why don't we just go home? Like, I don't want to be here. That's what his character is. He's like, I don't want to be here. I do not care. We came here for something. Let's just go back to Tomikia. And someone else will come do it for us, man. Like, come on. Why are we doing this? We're not grunts. We're royalty. We're high up in the military. Let them send us some scum guys here. Come on.
The funny thing is, though, like, as kind of cheesy as his voice was, it, like, matches his facial expressions perfectly.
Exactly.
And actually more so in the English version, because I played the Japanese version, and he's not even close to being that whiny.
Yeah, I have not listened to the Japanese dub of it yet, unfortunately. I don't know why I haven't. I always just watch it in English.
I didn't watch it in Japanese, but during a few parts, I just sort of switched over to Japanese just to see what it sounded like.
Oh, okay.
Especially during parts that just sounded kind of off in the English version. I was like, I wonder what that sounds like in Japanese. And so I kind of rewound it and then played it back in Japanese. And that's why I know that a few of the parts, I kind of prefer the Japanese actors, and a few of the parts, I prefer the English actors. Okay. But one thing I really like to do, if I have this option, is if you can play it with the subtitles, but not the English hearing impaired subtitles, but the subtitles that are like the actual English translation of the Japanese. I'll play it with the English dub and the English subtitles underneath, so that I'm not completely distracted by the subtitles, so I can actually watch the animation itself. But at the same time, I can look at the subtitles and see if there's any major differences.
Yeah.
And this was especially helpful once we get to Pompoko. This was really helpful when I watched Pompoko to see just how much stuff Disney cut out or altered to make the movie more suitable for children. Because, like, if you watch it with the Japanese subtitles, there's, like, swearing. Like, they say asshole and goddamn and stuff like that in these movies, but Disney completely cuts all of it out.
Yeah.
Like, they're closer to a PG-13 in the Japanese.
Hmm.
It's an interesting little thing. If you don't like to watch it with subs with Japanese, I would recommend, you know, watch it with the dub if that's what you prefer, but put the subtitles on anyways, especially if you've watched it at least once already, just as sort of an experiment to see what the differences are.
That's actually pretty cool. I've never thought of doing that.
Because sometimes you'll notice it's really close. It's like, oh, they actually got that that almost exactly to the Japanese. But sometimes it's like completely different. Or they have to change a joke sometimes because it doesn't make sense in English. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, like referencing something very Japanese.
Yeah, like My Neighbors, the Yamadas. In the English version, in the Japanese version, it just says, look at those big teeth or something. And then in the English version, he says, just like Jaws. And I guess in Japan, they wouldn't have understood a Jaws reference. But in America, we do. So they added that little reference in there.
Oh. Was there anything you were curious about after watching this film that you're confused about?
Well, you basically explained all the weird stuff with, like, the valley and because I was
and
always
all the significance.
Confused. Yeah, I was always confused about the valley and the forest and their, like, relationship to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because this movie can get a little bit
it does.
Confusing at times.
Yeah, watching it a few times, you just start to pick up on everything and understand, like, what is actually going on in the world.
Yeah,
and what
I'd
happened
say this-
there.
This is one of those Ghibli films you definitely have to watch at least twice to pick up on everything.
Yeah, even more so, yeah.
There's so much going on with this plot.
Yeah, because there's a lot of back history that just happens, and I like that they don't dwell on it too much, but I'm always so interested to know, because once I start getting invested in a universe, I want to know what happened previous. And I kind of like how they mention how these god warriors and their 7 days of fire, and they cleansed, they destroyed everything in flame, yada yada yada, and then, like, the toxic jungle. And I like that they left it to the imagination, a lot of it. Like, I don't know how some of these villages were destroyed that you see Lord Yupa going into, and he said, damn it, another village is gone.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. Like, was it just pollution that destroyed them?
Yeah, like,
them,
what happened?
Or
was it insects? Did they die? Because you see them huddled in a corner, holding each other, and just skeletons. And the doll, when he picks up, just crumbles. So I don't know how long it's been like that, or what exactly happened. Like, how would they have died just like that? Would have been toxicity in them that killed them in those positions? Like, there's so much I'm curious about this universe. And that's why I always wanted a sequel. Or some
yeah, getting to that, actually.
I was going to mention that, too.
I was just reading here, like, recent news, actually.
It's
this
like
news
2 days
report
ago.
Is from, like, the 23rd of August, and we're recording this, what, like, the 25th?
Yep.
So, it's literally just been announced that a sequel to Nausicaä may be coming. Apparently, I'm reading here...
By the guy who made Evangelion.
I can't say his name. Hideaki Anno, I think.
Yeah, Hideo, yeah. He has been wanting to do one for a long time. And Miyazaki's like, I don't really want to do one, but I trust you. And I will, if you want to do it, go ahead. And holy shit, I would die. That's like my two favorite properties in the
and
anime.
And it's two of the best, like, anime professionals working together.
Yeah, so you're gonna have Evangelion meets Nausicaä, almost as it said. Like, I'm so excited if this goes through and works. Holy crap.
It's probably gonna be... This movie is gonna be very PG-13, I think.
I wonder if it's gonna be... I wonder if he's gonna do it under the Ghibli banner, and I wonder if Disney's gonna bring it over here and then dub it, because... looking at a lot of his work, though, what he does, it's very, like, hardcore deconstruction surrealist kind of stuff. And some, if you watched all of Evangelion?
Yes, I have.
Because if you look at his stuff there, I don't think it's suitable for, like, the Disney audience kind of thing, like Disney's banner.
No, not at all.
And I was curious about. Well, if he's going to do it in the Ghibli style or the Gainax style.
I think it'll probably be, like, the animation I'm hoping will be more of a Ghibli style and to look more like the first Nausicaa, but a little bit better. Like I mentioned with the character design, it would be nice if they kind of upgraded that a little bit.
Yeah, knowing him, he's
considering
he's had,
it's been like 30 years.
Yeah, he's had 30 years to be thinking of character stuff, and I know he's been thinking about this for a while. I have a feeling the God Warriors will have a big play in it. I almost wonder if it will be that prequel I'm curious about, too, or if it will be a direct sequel.
Might be interesting.
Yeah, because then you can get all his giant mecha kind of out of him with the God Warriors.
Now, what Disney actually did with Princess Mononoke, because that film was actually released in America with PG-13, they actually didn't release it under Walt Disney Studios. They released it... I think it was Miramax or Touchstone.
It was Miramax because it was the Weinstein Company and stuff. It was released way before the agreement with Disney.
See, I thought Disney released it under like a different name.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Because Disney bought Miramax from the Weinsteins. They used to own Miramax. Now they own the Weinstein
Company. Okay.
So, but I'm not sure if this came out when the Weinsteins still owned Miramax, or if it came out more recently when Disney...
No, I'm pretty sure it was when the Weinstein did, because there was the whole thing where they sent the Weinstein Company the katana that said no cuss, because they were upset with how they cut the movie, or how they cut Nausicaa, and they didn't want Mononoke to be cut like that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think I've got Princess Mononoke on DVD, and I'm pretty sure it's uncut.
Yeah, it's like, this is like the cheapest, it's like the cheapest Ghibli DVD you can buy. It's like $5. And it's really, really good. So if you don't have any of these films, it's like $5 at HMV. I really suggest picking that one up. Nausicaa, quite harder to find, I think. I don't really see it that often at like MVs or anything like that.
You know what's weird is, like, the most expensive one I've ever seen, it was, like, $35 or $40, was The Cat Returns.
I love that movie. I got it in a gas station for
I don't really like that one that much.
Really?
I think it's okay.
I think it's a
decent,
fun...
It's kind of weird, because have you seen Whisper of the Heart?
No, I haven't.
Because The Cat Returns is actually a spin-off movie of Whisper of the Heart.
My sister really likes Whisper of the Heart.
Because in Whisper of the Heart, the main character girl goes and I think she goes to a bookshop where one of the books she reads is about the cat, or she writes a book about the cat or
the
something
music
like
box
that
and stuff. And, oh wait, sorry, I just found what we were talking about. The actual what happened for the whole Princess Mononoke thing. So it was Miramax that purchased it. They were still owned by Disney at the time. This is before the Weinstein Company. This was when Harvey Weinstein was the head of it. But it wasn't Disney who got the rights. It was Miramax. Miramax specifically bought it to release it here.
Okay, so I'm wondering if Disney, if they make a Nausicaa sequel, if it'll be Disney doing it, or if it'll actually, if they'll release it under like Touchstone or Miramax or something, one of the companies that Disney owns.
Well, I think it's all going to come down because I think it's going to be Disney, because that's the whole reason they bought. I mean, they have the distribution rights. I think they have the Ghibli distribution rights for America. Disney does.
Pretty much,
so I think they'll have to release, but they just won't bring it over here kind of thing. That's what I'm curious about.
That would suck.
Oh, I know it will.
It'll be the Mother 3
yeah.
of animated movies.
And that's what I'm
Something awesome that you can only get in Japan.
Exactly. That's what I'm so curious about, if that's what's going to happen, because when you're putting that film with Hideko Anno... I'm so excited for it again.
Yeah, even if I have to get like
a
pirated version,
that's, for fan subs, because I about how that's gonna come out, and again, how knowing how Disney is, how they are gonna throw this one out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. All right, so I think that's about all we have to say about Nausicaa. So, final thoughts, Scott?
Oh, we all know I absolutely adore this film so much. It's my favorite Ghibli film. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. Again, it's not for everybody. I know this one specifically is not for everybody. My sister, I live with a family of Ghibli fans, and only half of my family likes it. Me and one of my sisters like this movie. My other sister thinks it's stupid and boring. But if you...
Oh, wow, that's unfortunate.
I know. But there's some Ghibli films I think I'm not too fond of that she really likes. Again, this one's not for everybody, but I really think give it a chance. Go check it out if you can. And I think you'll really get some great emotions from this film. And I hope you'll enjoy the story. Please check it out for my sake. If you love me, check it out.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this one. Not my favorite. I don't think I liked it as much as you, Scott, but I definitely enjoyed it. It's a very, very strong, I guess, well, we already talked technically at the beginning how it's technically not a Studio Ghibli film, but consider this their debut film, it's a very strong debut film. And heck, if you consider Castle in the Sky their debut film, that's also a very strong film. So Studio Ghibli got off on the right foot, I would say. They've had a few missteps along the way, but nothing major. They've actually been one of the most consistent animation studios out there, really. And one of the few I can say you can't do wrong by watching pretty much anything that they put out. Mm-hmm. Some of it's better than other things.
And it all depends who does it, though. It all depends who does it. If it's Miyazaki, he can do no wrong.
Pretty much, yeah. There's Miyazaki films I like more than others. But yep. There's none I really hate.
Pretty much. But yeah, probably does end it off for tonight.
Yeah, that's about it for this episode. And join us next week, when we will have Andrew joining us, because he just messaged us on Skype. So he's going to be joining us for our next episode on Pompoko. And you know that's going to be fun.
So, testicles.
Giant testicles. So stay tuned, guys.
Keep it easy.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear... somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How well, actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.